Good evening, my lovely listeners, and welcome to the bungalow. My publishing schedule has slowed down since we've hit the new year, and I apologize for that. A lot of work I've been doing lately has been collaborations with other voice actors, or other audio projects that don't quite fit the theme of this podcast. Another obstacle is just how much time an audio can take. I have a full-time job, on top of being the father to two adorable but exhausting gremlins, so free time is limited. And I also, admittedly, have a tendency to write not only lengthy scripts, but also to embellish them with music and sound effects. My most recent Incubus audio is a perfect example of this. That's the kind of audio I love doing, but it is time-consuming. Which is why the second chapter, while forthcoming, won't be dropping for a little while. In the meantime, I've started what I'm calling the Quickie Project. I have several unfinished scripts sitting in various folders on my computer, or even collecting dust on real, physical legal pads, that I'd like to clear out of my system. To simplify my life, and as a fun little challenge for myself, I've pulled some of these out with the goal of completing them in under 2,000 words. They'll go through minimal editing, little to no sound effects or music, just audio, just my voice, out into the world. The first one of these is something I'm really excited to record, something that has been on my mind for a while, and I plan on getting to it sometime this week, so hopefully you won't need to wait too long before that drops on the podcast. But tonight, I have something to share that I have debated publishing in this forum at all. And that is because it is kind of a bummer. It's sad. And I was curious if something that's just sad had a place here. But I am proud of it. And I've been told that it has some ASMR quality, so I'll let you be the judge as to whether it fits. Tonight's audio. Your ex-boyfriend calls to tell you all the things you wish he'd said, is something I couldn't have written 10 years ago. I had illusions about how cool I was in my 20s, how right, how masculine, how important. I do still hold certain beliefs about myself, about my importance and masculinity, but both have been bruised and broken in the intervening years, enough to teach me, if not humility, a level of honesty. I have not always treated my relationships with the care and patience they merited. I have not always been kind. I have been selfish and short-sighted. It's not always prudent to admit these things to the people we've wronged. It can open up old wounds. It can be self-serving. You can tell someone you didn't appreciate them properly, and maybe that will give them closure, or maybe they'll realize, oh, so you were the selfish jerk I promised myself you weren't. And I wasted how many years hoping you'd prove me wrong? But mostly it's hard to say sorry because it's hard to apologize for being yourself. We're always the heroes of our own stories when we're reflecting on past relationships, and we're supposed to be. If we didn't have an instinct for self-preservation, we'd all curl up like dead bugs out of shame and embarrassment, and not just on our bad days. It's one thing to admit to yourself, oh boy, I really fucked up. But to let someone else in on that secret, to reveal yourself utterly, that's painful. When I was writing this script, I wanted to let the listener in on a moment of absolute vulnerability. And it happens in stages. It doesn't begin with a sorry, it begins with the speaker taking the listener on the path that leads to sorry. I can only speak for men, and then really for just one of them, but it is not always easy to attach words to the roiling ball of heat and frustration that spins inside us. Making that apology requires finding it and grabbing hold of it and holding it long enough to know truly what it is. Something that touches me more deeply the older I get is simple kindness. I know that sounds basic, but as the world gets louder and busier and, frankly, scarier, and I daily struggle with how to teach lessons about it to my children, seeing a person go out of their way to be patient or compassionate is unspeakably consequential. We don't always get a chance to apologize to those we hurt. And those of us who suffer from an abundance of pride won't always admit how we fail as partners. This audio is about a man using a moment of clarity to say what he really feels, to answer her kindness too late with acknowledgement and thanks. Home is one of those abstract feelings that is best recognized by its absence. You know it when you feel it. You miss it when you lose it. For the speaker in this piece, it hurts him twice as much because, with that loss, he realizes how poorly he treated the woman who made him feel it. Like I said, this audio is a bit of a bummer. Most breakups are. Before we begin, some notes on the content. Some elements of this audio may not be to your taste, so be aware that it contains the following. While it is what I would consider safe for work, there is occasional strong language and mentions of sex. And it is sad. I know this seems obvious, but I have had listeners tell me that this audio got to them, emotionally. I don't think it's too cautious to put a trigger warning here for sorrow. This is not a sexy one. This is a sad one. The next one will be a sexy one. And now, the legal. This audio was written, recorded, and produced by Benji2049. The story is copyright Benji2049, all rights reserved. All characters portrayed in this story are 18 years old or older. This audio was made by an adult, for adults, and is a work of fiction. So, if you're still with me, there's a phone call I've been meaning to make. Hi. I'm not surprised I went straight to voicemail. I don't blame you. I realize you could be sleeping right now, or you could be waiting for the voicemail icon to pop up so you can delete this without listening to it, and I wouldn't blame you for that either. I'm not gonna call again to find out if that was the case. I don't want to bother you that way. I just wanted to tell you something, and I know I can't say this to your face. Before I say what I want to say, I want to say I'm not calling to tell you you were right about everything and I was wrong. I don't believe that. But it's been, God, I don't know how many years it's been. And I will admit that in a lot of important ways, I was wrong. I know I don't get points for that, and it's not a too little, too late scenario. You've moved on. I've moved on. I haven't really moved on. I think you're with someone else now. You have moved on is the point, and I want to be respectful of that. This isn't the phone call you needed all those years ago. I guess this is the phone call that I need to make right now. It's not midnight anymore. I don't know what time it is. But it's late or early, and I'm standing in my apartment looking at a street light, and I've been doing that a lot lately. And it's not your fault, but I've been thinking about us and how I left things and why I left things the way I did. And there's a lot about that time, about me in that time, that I don't recognize anymore. I'm not a better person now, but I am older now, and I understand a little better the things that I need to live. You put a lot of time in me. You tried really hard. I don't know if I didn't see that, get that, or if I thought I was just was owed that. But there was a disconnect. A lot of giving on your side and me not there for it. A lot of me taking. You know, I've spent a long time thinking about myself and how great I am, so why wouldn't any woman I laid down with recognize that? But confidence is one thing. I wanted to have fun, and I wanted the world to see me, and you were just one person. Not an audience. Not this week's new thing. You were the old thing. The steady thing. And you remember what I said, that I didn't want steady. Well, it's taken an indecently long amount of time for me to accept that. You were my home. I'm not dragging out this phone call to say that you're the only person who really got me or loved me. But I'm telling you, tonight, and for a long time now, I know how much you loved me. And I wasn't ready to be the guy you loved. You wanted me so bad, and to be wanted by someone like you. I don't know if I'd ever met a woman who could back up her sass the way you did. It wasn't just a flirty front. You had all these delightful and devious thoughts. I think the first few weeks of us knowing each other was just a mutual showing off, you know. The difference was I was having fun, and you were falling in love. That put a lot less pressure on me. But I think for a little while, especially in the beginning, I was really good at loving you. I mean, you were always in your head. You were excellent at hiding it in the first phase of us, but, you know, after we'd been together for a bit, not fucking around, but seeing each other, you couldn't keep that up. And yeah, I know I said some things about that. I wasn't patient. But you changed too. You know, in the beginning, you used to let me fuck the fear out of you. The anxiety. You used to come home. This was after college, you know, when we were still figuring this life shit out. From that job you hated. That boss who talked down to you. The other guy who was a
total creep. The commute, the work he never felt qualified for, but always ended up doing the lion's share of. And oh, man, we used to fight about that. Me telling you to fucking leave it, and you telling me it would help you get the next job. And what about this job? I asked. Job of being my girlfriend. It is a job, you said. You know, if you had said that 6 months later, that would have been the end of things. But that's not how it worked in the beginning. I looked at you. My blood was up. What did you say to me, you little brat? I asked. And you narrowed your eyes. Solving problems was easy back then. I think it was. Back when you liked to fight me a little bit, but always surrender for a spanking. Then some half-angry sex on the kitchen table that turned into half-laughing sex, and then just... And it was just us remembering why we were together in the first place. I'm not saying sex was the answer. But I know that not having sex was like not talking. There's a different kind of talking. The only kind of talking I ever felt like I could be as eloquent as you. When you were naked, you trusted me to take care of you. And then it was like that wasn't who we were anymore. The kind of people that stayed naked as long as it was comfortable. I look back on those last few weeks and I feel like I woke up and went to bed with my shoes on. And at the time, I was convinced that was all your problem. You froze up. You lost interest. You didn't care. I didn't see what was in the way. And I was too mad, too hurt, too stupid to know it was me. You were in your head, but I was out of mine. And the worst thing is, what I understand all too well now is that I mistook your fear for boredom. I felt suffocated by all those clothes, so. And now I'm here, and you're all the way over there, and I've really missed you. I've missed holding you. I've missed breathing you in before I kiss you. I miss the way you laugh when you're actually laughing. I miss knowing what excites you. And yeah, I miss being naked with you. I miss putting my hands on your ass as I pull you up to my face, bringing you up on your tiptoes, squeezing you against my body, where you folded up like origami when I sank my teeth into your earlobe or breathed just right against your neck. I miss hearing your voice on this phone telling me you'll see me soon. I miss that voice telling me. I've been talking for a long time. Well, okay. If there are any minutes left in your inbox, I just wanted to say, you know, if you're ever feeling a crisis of confidence, I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that someone's thinking about the last time they saw you naked. And someone's thinking about the first time they saw you naked, too. Someone's thinking about the first time you held his hand. Someone's thinking about how it felt to hold you when you cry. Thinking about how it felt to be the one to make you cry. Someone is desperately trying to remember how the room smelled when you'd been there. Someone is sitting up in bed in the middle of the night wondering what you're doing right now, where you went after you put on your clothes and walked out of his life. You might not believe me because, you know, you see that face in the mirror every day, but you are somebody's fantasy. You are somebody's daydream 20 years down the road. Believe me. I'm not telling you this because you're a goddess on earth or any minor ascended being that rates just above us crude mortals. I'm telling you this because it's an ordinary, everyday truth. Someone just like me is walking through this world without a piece of his heart. And honestly, it's kind of a nice thought, right? It's nice knowing you can do that. Give a piece of yourself away forever. You might not realize that you were giving it away. If you don't know you can do that, it's easy to just throw it away. But then it is gone forever, isn't it? Forever until forever comes. I threw it away, didn't I? Yes, I did. I'm not calling you because I deserve a second chance. I'm calling because I understand now how I fucked up. And I am truly sorry. I'm so sorry, honey. I hope you're doing great. I really do. And hey, if you're ever in town, well, you got my number. Goodbye, baby.